drinking town with a football problem. Hey everybody, welcome to the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Amy.
And we have a lot to get to this week. Start off by following us on Twitter. That's where we're at the most, at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
Follow me at Safamud.
And I am at CFL Hottieball.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're also on Instagram. Just search Piffles Pod. And as always, check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Coming up on this week's show, we're going to talk about the Riders' 37-12 dominating win over the Alouettes. Riders moving to 10-7 for the first time in... 3 years? We've had 10 wins, so that's great. Double digits there. We're going to talk playoff scenarios. We're going to talk about this Riders versus Eskimos game coming up this upcoming Saturday, which is a huge game. Going to basically determine where everybody finishes in the West. We'll have another entrant into the Hottie Bowl. I have a rant this week. Our Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles player profile. Engaging with the enemy. Our Piffles picks. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Grey Cup Festival coming up in... Geez, less than a month.
Is it really that close?
We are, well, we're in the final week of the regular season now, so we are, playoffs are just around the corner. It'll be coming up really
quick.
We
leave for Grey Cup in 23 days.
This season just flew by.
Yeah, it really did.
I love it. It's so much more fun when you're winning.
Didn't drag on like last year. Put us out of our misery. No, this year we don't want it to stop, so it's a nice change for us. Let's talk about that game against Montreal. First off, I want to start by saying what a great video tribute to Darian Durant off the start of the game. They waited till all of Montreal came out first, and they did it before the Riders came out as well. Put a 90-second video up on the Jumbotron, and I thought it was a really nice, classy thing to do. Darian, they put the camera on him after and did his waves and everything after, and it was just really well done. So kudos to the Riders for putting together a nice tribute video. Again, we had that little debate, should it have even been done, and I'm glad it ended up being done because it was done really well.
Yeah, I was on the side of don't do it, but after it happened, I loved it. It was absolutely the right call, and I was a moron for thinking otherwise.
I think you're just a moron anyway.
Well, that's also true.
So to the game itself, Darian obviously didn't have a very good game. It was 9 of 20, almost threw a pick six to Daron Carter in the end zone. Which, oh man, I wish Carter would have been just that half a step forward a little bit more because he saw that screen pass coming right away. That could be Darian Durant's final game at Mosaic Stadium as a starter. I don't think that'll be his final game here ever, but is that going to be the lasting impression we have of Darian Durant here in Saskatchewan? Is a 9 of 20 game and throwing a pick and just looking terrible?
I don't want to say yes, but I can't see him starting anywhere next year. Not the way he's played the last... Well, season. I mean, he hasn't looked good all year. I really don't want it to be. I don't want that to be how his starting career ends, but it is what it is.
I hate that saying, but it's absolutely true in this case. Same thing with Nick Lewis. That sounds like it's going to be his final game as well. And back to where it all began, his first career touchdown was here in Saskatchewan back in 2004. And doesn't sound like he's going to be playing in the final week for Montreal against Hamilton. So, see do I say the words legends?
I think so.
Two legends maybe finish off their careers here in Saskatchewan and without much public fanfare? That's kind of crazy.
Did you see the video of Nick Lewis taking off his pads for the last time?
Yeah.
Oh, I just about teared up.
You know, I don't remember the last time as a fan, there was a guy that was so universally hated and then universally loved. Like when he was with Calgary, he was public enemy number one, right alongside
Henry Burris. John Gornish.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he went to Montreal and you couldn't hate him anymore. He was just a great guy for the league. A lot of fun. You know, he was great on our show when he was on, was that last year?
The end of last year.
Like just a genuinely good dude. And, you know, it's gonna be weird to see the CFL next year without Nick Lewis. It'll be a little sad.
Well, from us here at Piffles Podcast, Nick Lewis, thank you for everything you've done for the CFL. He's been nothing but a great ambassador. He lives in Regina in the off season as well too. So, I mean, he's here all the time, and hopefully we'll see him around, and he'll be back in the CFL someday as a coach or something. Anyway, so moving on to the game, the first note that I have in front of me. I just put names here because these are the guys I want to talk about this week. Mecari Grant obviously fell short of 1,000 yards. He's sitting at 995, and everybody
is calling for his head on a platter.
Yeah, because he fumbled the ball on the 2-yard line, showboating, walking into the end zone because he didn't realize that one of the Montreal defenders was behind him. He thought that he shook his DB, and he was just going to have a clear path into the end zone.
People need to stop it. This whole Bakari needs to sit thing. You do not bench a 1,000-yard receiver because he made a mistake, and he owned up to it immediately.
Yeah, he went up right on Twitter right after the game, and it was before we even got home he was tweeting about it, saying, sorry, that'll never happen again, I made a mistake, and he owned up to it. And, I mean, we've gotten to know him a little bit more with the Piffles Bowl and just seeing him at practice all the time. And the guy, he's one of the nicest guys in the league, and you can see why people in Hamilton and Calgary still wish that he was there, because he's a great community guy. He's just a really nice person, and he's having a career year. This is the most receptions, the most yards he's ever had, tied for the most touchdowns. Like, the guy's been phenomenal for us. And this is a guy that when we signed him in the offseason, people didn't think he'd make the team as more than a sixth receiver, and right now he's our third best receiver, could possibly finish as our second leading receiver, even leading receiver if he has a huge game against Edmonton. You mentioned people want him to sit for, I guess, the playoffs, because Chad Owens has played phenomenal in his two games here in Saskatchewan where he's been on the field. And if Neman Roosevelt is back, you got to sit an American somewhere, and it's going to be in the receiving core. Who do you sit?
Caleb Hawley. Not even a question for me. And it's not because Caleb Hawley has performed poorly. I think he's also easily a top five receiver. It's just I think Grant brings something that Hawley doesn't. Owens has that veteran presence, and look what he's done with his two games. I think it's just Hawley's the odd man out.
It's a great problem to have, because if you look at the American receivers that we have, and this is why Chris Jones went out and got so many of them, because we were able to trade our Monty Edwards in the offseason, and we got Peter Diakowski for him. So Daron Carter, assuming that he's actually playing receiver coming up, because who knows where he's going to be playing. Neman Roosevelt, if he's healthy. Bakari Grant, Caleb Hawley, Chad Owens.
Rob Bagg.
And Rob Bagg. In a perfect world, we could find another Canadian that could start somewhere. And I hate saying this because he's my favorite player, I think, of all time on the Riders. But Rob Bagg would need to sit. Just from a production point of view for yards. If you look at his stat line from the last game, one catch for minus 7 yards. I mean, that wasn't a fault of his. That was a bad decision from Brandon Bridge running around backwards and then, I mean, throwing the ball where he had to. And then, obviously, as a receiver, you're not going to drop the ball. Like, you're not going to purposely not catch the ball. So I don't fault Rob Bagg for that by any means. And he brings a lot of things to the table that other receivers don't. Rob Bagg is one of the best blocking receivers in the CFL. And with us seemingly having a run game now, you can't really take that out of the lineup. Plus, we don't have another Canadian that we can start somewhere else. That would change the ratio. So it's kind of hard. Chris Jones is in a hard place here, because for the ratio, he needs to start Rob Bagg, but we would probably get more production out of a guy like Caleb Hawley were he to start in his place. So it's a really a tough decision, but it's kind of not in the same.
The fact that we can sit here and look and have to find a place for another quality receiver is a huge upgrade over the last couple of years. It is a nice problem to have. I hate to agree with you, because like you said, we all love Rob Bagg. He's been great for the league. He's been great for the team the entire time he's been here, but who would perform better in that spot? I don't think anybody would question that Caleb Hawley would probably be more productive.
But
the fun of the Canadian game is that whole ratio thing.
Ultimately, that's what it comes down to, and so it comes down to Bakari Grant or Caleb Hawley. And as much as I think a lot of Rider Nation is really mad at Bakari Grant for that fumble, and then the next play that the Riders had on offense, I said to Amy while we were at the game, it's going right to Bakari Grant because they're going to try and get him back into it and get his head back into it, and then he dropped that pass, and that would have been for his 1,000 yards. Yeah. And I said he's shook. So Bakari Grant had a pretty poor game. There's no denying that was definitely not his best game by any means. But it all comes down to what you think you can get more production out of Caleb Hawley or Bakari Grant. And I think Grant being a little bit taller, playing that slot, going up the seam a little bit more, He's been a better possession receiver for this team, and most of his yards are yak. Like he gets a lot of short passes that he turns up for big gains, and I think it's really hard to pass that up, even with Caleb Hawley getting that big long 55-yard touchdown in this game.
Well, let's be real on that one. I could have scored on that.
Well,
okay, maybe not me. That was I don't know if that was on poor defense or what that was, but I don't remember the last time I saw a guy that wide open.
That was a great pump fake by Kevin Glenn.
Yeah, I must have missed that one.
Yeah, he had a good kind of a head fake and a little bit of an arm fake there too, and the defensive back just jumped the route that he thought it was going to be a slant or something, and Hawley just took off and was wide open.
Can I say just how much I love that call? I miss ballsy calls like that.
And to do that right out, especially the way the first half ended with the Bakari Grant fumble, with Tyler Kapinha hitting the post, and us getting no points at the end of the half. Yeah, we were up by a bunch of points at the half, but it could have been a lot worse. I think Chris Jones sending a message to his team saying, we can do this. We're not going to settle for, you know, the failures of the first half that we had. And it's just putting trust in the team, and obviously it worked.
Yep.
So it'll be really interesting to see what Chris Jones does with the roster this week and going into the playoffs, especially assuming that Namon Roosevelt is back and Daron Carter is going to be on offense. So, but again, that's a question mark because he played a little bit of offense, played a little bit of defense. I really don't know what to expect out of him. I don't know where he's going to line up. And
I can't see him not lining up at receiver for the playoffs. I just can't. But
I want to believe that, too. And I think they're just making sure that Casey Rogers is 100%. But I think they're also just having Carter playing DB a little bit just to kind of, I mean, we have enough talent on offense without him to get the job done. But I think just having him back there to I guess, maybe give a different look. I don't know. It's really weird to me.
And because he is apparently our sixth DB, it can't hurt to give him, I mean, I'm sorry, but the game against Montreal was more or less meaningless. It was a meaningless game. The game before, same thing. We'd clinched the playoffs. That meaningless time to kind of get those defensive reps, if he is going to be the sixth guy for the playoff run, how you have Daron Carter as your sixth DB or your injury substitute is beyond me. But at this point, I no longer question Chris Jones. He has made a believer out of everybody.
And you know who's made a believer out of me lately? Trent Richardson. And I mentioned this last week after his game against Calgary, but this game here, he went off and had, 127 yards and two touchdowns, his first couple scores as a Rider. And his beast mode run, not wheat mode. Riders, don't call him wheat mode. Please don't call him wheat mode. That was ridiculous.
He is built like a truck.
Yeah. Dragging a defender with him 20 yards and then spinning around and throwing him on the ground. That was one of the best runs I may have ever seen in the CFL. That was fantastic. Richardson had a great game.
When was the last time the Riders ran the ball 20 times in a game by one guy?
They didn't even do that with Messam.
Like that, they actually incorporated a legitimate running game. And look what it did.
And with the weather being colder, that's exactly what this team's going to need to just put that offense over the top. And we found, with this having this run game, we didn't settle for field goals. They scored touchdowns. And it was because of the hard yards that he was getting. So I was 100% against the Trent Richardson signing to begin with. I don't want to say I've done a complete 180, probably about a 150. And he's been great the past couple weeks. So he's making a believer out of me, and if that's the kind of production we're going to get out of him, and if we get, kind of a change of pace with Cameron Marshall coming back to the lineup in the playoffs, that's a great 1-2 punch to throw at Winnipeg, Calgary.
Between Trent Richardson and Chad Owens, I am eating a whole helping of crow, and I love it. Absolutely love it.
Eating crow is not a bad thing.
Nope, I will do it anytime. One other player that comes to mind for me, and we had him on the show last week, keeping that trend of Piffle's player profile being a positive thing, Crezdon Butler. Five tackles, two sacks, forced fumble. He was a one-man wrecking crew.
Like I said when we had him on for the player profile, ever since he hit the goalpost in BC, he's been arguably one of our best defensive players. Obviously, arguably top three, along with Ed Gainey and Willie Jefferson. He's been fantastic. And going up against some of the top slot receivers in the league, I like that. Yep. Going into the playoffs. He's played in the NFL playoffs against Aaron Rodgers, so the guy definitely has experience in big games against big-name quarterbacks, arguably the greatest quarterback in the world right now. I like our chances with him back there, and he's been absolutely fantastic.
Yep, I'm a fan.
And I want to bring this up in the game because, I mean, the last couple games we've seen all three quarterbacks get in there. And, you know, Vernon Adams takes short yardage. Kevin Glenn was playing poorly. And then Brandon Bridge would come in relief and win us some games. This game was a full three-man rotation. What do you make of the three quarterback system that was employed in this game?
I don't like it. We're coming into the playoffs now. We need to pick a starter. I hope it's Bridge because of what he's done arguably over the last 6-7 weeks.
Does that include the kind of a poor game that he had here?
Yeah. He had an off game. Nobody can argue that. And off games will happen. But Kevin Glenn has had, what, six or seven straight off games for the most part?
Yeah.
I mean, I hate this quarterback carousel. I do get that it makes teams look at two different types of systems. Because obviously with Brandon Bridge, you have to respect the mobility. With Kevin Glenn, you don't. I mean, now that we've got a running game, that'll add to it, but I'm not a fan, and I've said it time and time again, I hate bringing in the cold quarterback in the red zone. I think it's ridiculous, and it hasn't worked all year, but again, I'm learning not to question the system.
If they keep winning, it's kind of hard to argue against it. I'm with you, I don't really like it either, and actually, I talked to Belton Johnson, formerly of the Riders, and I asked him, I'm like, so you were a player in 2008, and that's when the Darian Durant, Stephen Giles, Marcus Crandall at the beginning of the season, but it was Durant and Giles. How did you feel as a player, you know, having a cold quarterback come in every quarter? Because they rotated quarters, and he hated it. He said it was the absolute worst. There's really no time to get a proper rhythm as an offense that way. And I don't want to question what the players this year feel, because obviously this is working to a degree and we're getting wins. But I really do wonder how this does affect the team and their overall consistency, because there is no rhythm when you get in different, especially because they're different style quarterbacks as well. So I don't know. Like I'm with you. I wish that they would just pick one. Obviously, if they're going to pick one, it's going to be Kevin Glenn, even though I don't think it should be. It's going to be Kevin Glenn.
And you know what? The fact that they start with, I'm fine with them going to Kevin Glenn to start games. And they've shown that quick leash over the last few weeks, and I'm okay with that.
I actually really like that quick
leash. But it's the, if you make that change, that's it. Don't bounce back and forth. I'm okay with the occasional, you know, trick series type thing throughout a season, but when it's game after game, and I don't like it.
I feel like going into the playoffs, that is something that might be we've seen Chris Jones outcoach himself, and I feel like that might be something that I don't want it to happen, but it might happen, that he's going to try and keep both quarterbacks ready to throw the other team off, but then it'll backfire spectacularly in their faces. And I think it is just you're outcoaching yourself.
Well, and you have to legitimately wonder what Brandon Bridge is thinking when he's outperformed Glenn in large numbers over the past, 8 weeks, yet he's still number two on the roster. And as a free agent coming up, what does that say about Chris Jones's plans for the future with Brandon Bridge?
We get so caught up in what's going on with the team right now that future is kind of being ignored.
Yeah.
So
that can't make him feel all that loved. I mean, but again, as long as you're winning, I'm sure those feelings go out the window.
Winning cures everything, and that's the bottom line in football. Is a lot of the deficiencies in a team and a lot of the kind of the behind the scenes things you don't see because the team's winning. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the playoffs, because it does make me nervous, even though I'm confident in this team moving forward, and I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs right now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Not with a running game.
Yeah.
That was the one thing we lacked.
Now that the Riders have a run game, another big game coming up against Edmonton here. This game is going to decide basically the playoffs for the West. Winnipeg plays Calgary on the Friday night. If Winnipeg wins, they clinch second no matter what. But if the Riders win, and let's assume that Calgary beats Winnipeg, because it doesn't look like Matt Nichols will play for Winnipeg. Let's assume Calgary wins that. Winnipeg drops to 11-7. 11-6, Edmonton go up against 10-7, the Riders. And so if the Riders win that game, there will be a three-way tie at 11-7. Winnipeg gets the tiebreak for second place. The Riders would get third, which would mean they would go to Winnipeg and Calgary in the playoffs. Edmonton would cross over, and Edmonton can finish anywhere from second to fourth. So Edmonton's playing for everything, especially if Calgary ends up beating the Bombers.
How much do those bad losses look right now with that scenario? You look back to Ottawa, that blown lead, the game against Montreal, the game against Winnipeg.
One of those games, we have a shot at second place.
And a home play. I mean, my bank account likes it because I get the playoff credit.
I'd rather have a home playoff game.
Yeah, 100%. I would rather be sitting, freezing my arse off at Mosaic Stadium, and we arguably should be. That's,
So this is a huge game, and it's the second last game of the year, and then the last game of the year is Toronto at BC, and if Toronto wins, they finish first in the East. Ottawa finishes second and will host either us or Edmonton.
I like that even though the six spots have been determined for a couple of weeks now, it's going right down to the wire for five of them.
Yeah, only one team has their place locked up, and that's Calgary. And this is great. It's great for TV, and I know TSN's absolutely loving this because the ratings for this weekend will be even better. Hard for them to sell that Montreal-Hamilton game at the beginning of Friday, but it'll be it's going to be a really fun week. I don't see this team putting up 50 points. Not in a colder weather game, which I'm assuming that's what it's going to be looking at the forecast here. And Edmonton is clearly not, a 54 points against team anymore like they were when they were on that losing streak. This is going to be a fun game. We're going to see how loud this place can really get, because this means East or West. And notoriously, it's a proven fact that any team that goes out East in the crossover, they do not make the Grey Cup.
And I don't care whether or not the East is good or bad this year. Right now, with the injury problems that Winnipeg's having, Calgary looking
less
very
than
beatable, the West, I want to go through the West. And there's no question in my mind, this game, we have to win this game.
Now, we had that Javon Johnson bowling event this past Saturday, which was a great event, raised a lot of money for fight against Lyme disease. So Javon, props for putting that on. It was great. We had a blast. The player that was on our lane that we played with was Sam McGovern. And I had a chance to ask him a couple questions. And one of them was, so about the playoffs here, does it matter to you guys? Do you care where you go for the playoffs? Because obviously, they know they're going to have to play two road games in the playoffs. Just a matter of whether they stay out West or go out East. And I said, would it make it easy just to go out East because you guys would just stay out there for, 3 weeks? And he said, no, not at all. Because our routines are off. We would stay out there, out East, all 3 weeks. They wouldn't come back to Regina at all. But here in the West, they would come back to Regina. And they would get in, they would sleep in their beds. They would have their normal road week preparation. They would get their practice at Mosaic Stadium here. The team wants to play out West.
Back when we weren't performing up to par and we were looking at the playoff scenario going, the East is the easier route. That's where we want to go. Right now, the team to beat in the CFL, and I had them at number one in the rankings, is the Riders. They've shown over the last 11 weeks, they're 8-3 over their last 11 games. Mm-hmm. Between them and Edmonton, that's number one and two in the CFL in my mind. Why wouldn't we want to play West? We've shown that we can beat Winnipeg. We've shown we can beat Calgary. We've shown we can beat Edmonton. I'd rather take the supposed harder route and get it over with and go through those challenging teams and show that you've got the mettle to win those games. That doesn't even take into account the whole coming home to sleep in your bed. Football players are creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be a bad thing to have them coming home every week. It's going to be a fun game on Saturday.
It means a lot, and it'll be a lot of fun.
And we said at the beginning of the year that that game could decide things.
It's going to decide a lot of things. It's going to decide potentially home field for, you know, the second place team in the West, and it's going to determine who finishes third and fourth.
That guess was almost as good as your prediction of the score on Friday night.
Well, that was perfect. So in my game preview article, I predicted the score of 37-12 for the Riders. And Amy will attest to this. At the end of the game, when it was 37-12, I was like, please just kneel the ball, get it over with.
Kneel it. When that touchdown came back.
So I took a screenshot from the article on my phone, and I circled it, and I posted it one play before the touchdown by Greg Morris. And I put hashtag nailed it. Greg Morris, next play, gets a touchdown. I quote it, damn it. I mean, obviously, I want the team to score as many points as possible. So I was the only person there that didn't want a touchdown, but only because I wanted my prediction to be right. Obviously, the game was over. And then the flag, holding. Oh, yes. So that means they're just going to take a knee. And then they took a knee, and I was the only person there that was happy that that touchdown came off the board. So I was able to predict a future. That was great.
That was impressive.
Maybe. So that's what you did with your time machine?
Yeah, I guess so.
Abilities from last week?
Yeah, so if Derek Moncrief wants to know what the final score of this game is, I guess he'll come ask me.
Should have put some money on it at least.
I guess so, yeah. But this game against Edmonton is going to be absolutely massive, so why don't we talk about it a little bit more? Let's get to Engaging with the Enemy. Joining us this week on Engaging with the Enemy, we're talking with Eskimo Empire host, Andrew. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm so glad I get to join you guys when I get a chance.
It's I know it's a privilege, isn't it?
It really is. Exactly. Yeah. I don't get to be on the number one CFL podcast very often, but here I get to be finally on your guys'.
Well,
thanks for pumping their ego.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Gets you what, Empire points? 10 Empire points.
Oh, thanks.
So, no.
I can't get them, though.
Yeah, he chastised me last time. He can't have them.
Yes, exactly. I have to hand them out and not obtain them.
Well, you got 10 extra ones, so if you want to pass them back to us, we'll take them.
All right. I'll see what I can do. Yeah, I'll see how nice you are. Okay.
So we got a big game coming up this week. It's going to determine basically the how the West is going to be finalized and really who's crossing over. So Riders against Edmonton this week. What's your take on this game?
I think this is already a playoff game for both teams. It's the atmosphere is going to just be amazing there at Mosaic. I'm a little upset that I couldn't make it out to watch the game there because it's going to be exciting. There's two teams that are kind of trending the right way at the right time, and they both know what's on the line. And, you know, the Eskimos could end anywhere from second all the way to fourth, and there's just huge amounts on the line for both teams, so I think it's going to be an amazing back-and-forth game.
Now, if you had to limit it to three things that the Eskimos need to do to win this game, what are the top three things, other than score more points?
Darn, you always take my first one. I would say one of the main things is they're going to have to protect Riley. For sure, the offensive line is going to have a better game than they did against Calgary. Give Riley a little bit of time to work downfield because the Saskatchewan defense is a great defense, and they're playing that Chris Jones defense right now. And I think that you need to give time for those guys to get open downfield. So I think that's going to be a big part of it. I do think a balanced attack is going to be very important with C.J. Gable getting the ball a bit more often and being able to take it up the field a bit more because that balance against the Riders is going to be very, very important. And I think the last thing, honestly, is it's going to come down to who can win the special teams battle between these two teams because our special teams have been so up and down all year, and this last game against Calgary, they did have a little bit of a better game, and they're going to need to have that because that's been kind of killing us. We've been starting inside of our 20 most of the time, and we're going up against Dickinson, who's an amazing special teams coordinator. So I think that's going to be a huge battle on the field.
Now, the last time that these teams met was back in August, and the Riders, I don't want to tell you the score because I'm sure you're trying to forget that. What kind of adjustments are the Eskimos going to make to counter that game? Because I was going into Edmonton in a place that the Riders notoriously suck in, and now at home where the Riders do play better, what is Edmonton going to do differently from that game?
Well, the main thing that's going to be different from that particular game is the Riders are now going to have to face Darrell Walker, Aaron Grimes, a healthy defensive line, and a healthy offensive line. And that's going to be a huge difference all on its own. But I also think that the Eskimos coming into that game against the Riders had lost the game the week before against the Bombers. And I think that kind of crushed the confidence. We had that confidence going in 7-0 and then played that game against the Bombers and kind of narrowly lost out. And I think that kind of changed the outlook of the team for a bit. Now they're coming in against a team who is back on a roll again and is healthier and has some new bodies. So I think that is going to be quite a different dynamic to both the way they play. And I'm going to, you know, just assume that Daron Carter is going to be on the offensive side of the ball this week. So it'll be a different dynamic between both for sure.
Now, switching over to your guys' podcast, you guys have a pretty good relationship with the Eskimos team themselves. I noticed recently you were in a pretty good article from the Eskimos themselves. What's that like from your side to be kind of that heavily, not advertised, but kind of talked to by the team themselves?
Yeah, you know what? It's been a massive privilege, and we don't take that for granted in the least. I know that at the beginning of the season, we were able to meet with Cliff, who is the communications guy now. And, you know, he's a young guy and he gets podcasting. And I think it was just a really door-opening situation for us. And I think the fact of the matter is right from the get-go, we've always respected the team, but we've always done this from a place of love for the team. And I think that now that we've been around long enough, they understand that, you know, we're not really going anywhere, that we're fans and we just want to be fans of the team. And so they're, you know, a little more willing to say, okay, let's work together to try and help this out. And I think the general feeling across the CFL is definitely becoming more positive towards podcasts. And that article that you mentioned, honestly, that was just completely flattering. It was Fan Appreciation Week. And so Cliff reached out and just said, hey, we're looking for people who are massive fans of the team, and the three of you definitely fall into that realm. So it was really, really cool to just have that conversation with them. And you know, whatever we can do to get more people out and to enjoy this game and this team, that's the whole idea. So it's been really nice to have that relationship.
All right, prediction for the game. Who you got?
Oh, my. Well, you know, I know how much you guys are fans of being homers, so I'm going to continue that trend, but of course I'm going to be homer on my side. I do think the Eskimos squeak it out. I think right now, if you compared the two teams, the Eskimos are scoring more touchdowns than field goals, and the Riders are doing the other way, and I think that it's going to come down to a field goal in there somewhere. I have a feeling it's going to be super, super close, but I'll give the Eskimos a bit of an edge here.
Well, it's not going to be a blowout like it was back in August. I do think that this will be a really close game as well. And we're going to have one of your co-hosts joining us at the game this
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Kayla is going to be coming out, and I'm excited for her to hopefully meet up with you guys and to be, you know, bring us the Mosaic experience where Superfan and I can't get away this particular weekend. So that's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to you guys all getting to know each other.
I look forward to it. And Andrew, this is a battle of the two hottest teams in the league right now. It should be pretty good. And if there's any two teams that I know, if I were a fan of the other teams that are going to the playoffs, these are the two teams I wouldn't want to face, so it should be quite the battle.
I 100% agree. I'm very, very excited and nervous for Saturday, as I'm sure we all are. It's going to be an awesome game, and then I'm also looking forward to, in a few weeks, getting to see you guys again in Ottawa.
And Andrew, one more for you. Where can people find out more about your show and the Esks Empire?
Absolutely. You can find us. We actually have a website now. So it's eskempire.ca. And we have all of our links on there, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And, of course, you can find the podcast on iTunes and Google Play and everywhere you find podcasts. And it usually comes out every Wednesday, this week, obviously, it'll be Thursday just because we're all going to be out with our kidlets on Tuesday night.
Andrew, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's always fun.
Andrew of the Eskimos Empire podcast, Asks Empire. Make sure you give him a follow. Great people over there. And it'll be fun because one of them are coming to this game. Kayla's coming to this game. So we'll have her on field after the game doing our Periscope with us. And we'll just have a lot of fun. And it should be a good time. And we'll see him out at Grey Cup, which is even better time. They can still wear their green and cheer on the better shade of green. Moving along here. Let's get to this week's Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile. I really want to know. Tell me, who are you? On this week's Player Profile, I had a chance to talk to fan favorite and, you know, I guess, you know, face of the franchise, Rob Bagg, for a few minutes. So here's my chat with Rob Bagg.
Halloween coming up on Tuesday. Two-part question. What are you going as? And what are your kids going as?
I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm personally going to wear this weekend. But knowing my children back home, I don't think they've all picked out their costumes. That we're probably going to have an Iron Man, a Spider-Man, and some sort of...
Princess?
Yeah, probably Elsa from Frozen. Those are probably top three right now.
Did you ever do any Halloween pranks when you were a kid?
I never egged anybody. I would never
just
do that.
Smash pumpkins.
Yeah. Toilet, DP houses or nothing?
No, I wouldn't do any of that. No.
What's your biggest pet peeve in life?
I think just fake people that put on a facade to either impress you or just to kind of keep your opinion to themselves. I just don't genuinely like people that aren't at least upfront with you.
What's your worst bad habit?
Cherry blasters. I could probably crush a pack of those a day.
What's your favorite holiday and why?
My favorite holiday? I haven't been home for one in a long time, but just Thanksgiving. It's just a great opportunity for our extended family to all come and be in the same place. Something that becomes a little bit harder as we get older around Christmas time, but Thanksgiving seems to be a time of the year that we can all get together, and it's just a good time.
You're taking your wife out for a perfect date. What are you doing?
Probably taking her to, we'd probably go back to Wooden Heads if we were in Kingston, which is a local restaurant that she enjoys. And, you know, dinner, movie, or just going out for drinks. She's been one of my best friends since I was in high school. So anytime I get a quiet moment with my wife, Kelly, is a blessing for sure.
What is your best hidden talent?
My best hidden talent? I think my best hidden talent's probably my speed out here. Most people seem to ignore it, so I'll say that.
Describe your ideal day off. No football, no kids, just Rob to himself.
I'm not the type of person that likes to sit down too much, so it wouldn't be ideal if I didn't have friends or family around. I'm going to want to spend time with somebody, but just low-key, maybe have a barbecue, something like that. So I'm really not that fancy.
So you've been here a long time. You've signed a lot of things for fans. What's the weirdest thing you've ever signed?
I call him my man, but there's a great fan in town that's got my name, my autograph tattooed on his calf, as well as a full-size picture. So, that's by far. I don't want to call it weird, but it's certainly out there, and I appreciate his support.
What was your favorite toy as a kid?
My favorite toy was probably the hockey stick my dad cut down for me.
And finally, what keeps you motivated being in the CFL this long?
Just lack of respect.
That's really it.
Shade thrown at a couple of folks on Twitter by Rob Bagg at the very end there. And I know he was called out for not having speed anymore. And again, for not tagging him in that tweet. And as he heard at the end, that's what keeps him going now. And admittedly, he isn't the same player that he was back in 2009, 2010. But let's be honest, no one is the same 8 years later.
You didn't ask him about dogs or cats.
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry, Amy. I guarantee he would say dogs. Rob Bagg would be total. Well, his kids might be more for cats, but I feel he would be a dog person.
You failed. You're fired. Get out.
Yeah.
Get out of the room.
You have one job amongst all your other jobs.
But what Rob does blocking and being just a leader on this team, you can't replace that. And we discussed that earlier in the show. He goes in every game with that blue-collar work ethic, and that's exactly why he became my favorite player of all time and why he's still a huge fan favorite to this day, even though his production isn't what it used to be, stat-wise, receiving. So Really, I like those answers at the end there because you really see what does get him going through practice and just people not respecting what he does anymore.
That makes me respect him a little bit more.
Okay, let's keep the show going here. Let's get to this week's Hottie Bowl. I like you a lot, lot. All we want is hot, hot, hot. Boys, boys, boys. We like boys in cars. Boys, boys, boys. Who's the boy this week?
Well, he was born January 25th, 1991.
Ooh.
I did a little switcheroo. In Scottsdale, Arizona, he attended the University of Michigan, where he studied psychology. When he isn't playing football, he enjoys reading, philosophy, and hanging out with friends. He signed with the BC Lions as a free agent in April of 2015, where he had a productive first year, appearing in 13 games and recording 24 defensive tackles, along with 6 sacks and a pass knockdown. He is 6 feet 5 inches, 265 pounds, defensive end for the BC Lions, number 93, Craig Rowe.
Craig Rowe, row, row your boat.
Maybe. I wonder if anybody's ever said that to him.
I'm sure he's heard that thousands of times.
That's probably the reason for his chop your head off celebration.
Yeah, that's what he's doing to people that say that.
Anyway, you can follow him on Twitter at Craig Rowe, C-R-A-I-G-R-O-H. And with that, the BC Lions are done.
So on BC
just
for this
like
week,
their season.
Yeah. So BC this year on the Hottie Bowl, you have Craig Rowe.
Yep. Mike Benson.
Long snapper.
And Jas Dillon.
The offensive lineman.
Yep. So that's two teams done, though.
All right. Craig, welcome to the Hottie Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay, moving along here. I said I was going to have a rant this week. I want to get to that.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, so my rant this week, I mean, Tuesday is Halloween. Halloween's fun. Everybody likes Halloween, right? Dressing up and going out and, you know, trick-or-treating and taking the kids out trick-or-treating. My rant is twofold. First off, bad candy. People that give out Tootsie Rolls, candy corn. Sorry, that stuff is junk.
Tootsie Rolls are good.
No, they're
Tootsie
not.
Rolls are awesome.
No, they're not.
The rest of this rant is pointless. You are wrong.
No. Candy corn. Can we at least agree on candy corn?
Candy corn is gross.
Yes,
that's
candy corn is
worst
garbage.
Candy of all time. Chocolate bars and chips. That's what you give out. Just leave it at that. Anyway, bad candy. Stop giving out bad candy. Don't give. You guys see that there's little packs of salads that you can give out now instead of candy?
Shut
like,
your mouth.
Like, no, you know those salad packs?
That can't be real.
There's little salad packs. I'm a big fan of raisins. Do not put raisins.
Is there actually salad packs for Halloween?
I thought that was a...
I'm sure it's probably a meme, but there's people that give out stuff like that, though. They give out the healthy options. Halloween is about getting candy. It's not about health.
So you don't want toothbrushes?
No. Even though it's a great idea, after all the candy you eat, you probably should have like another 6 toothbrushes beside you. But no, candy is about stuffing your face and stealing your kids' candy.
Damn right.
I'm
excited for tomorrow night when Dylan takes 10 things from his bag and I get the rest of it.
Now, what I really wanted to rant about is the age of trick-or-treaters. What is the cutoff?
You know what, though? So you're going to say, don't trick-or-treat when you're 16, but they're not out effing things up. Just let them trick-or-treat.
Yeah, I'm with Amy on that one.
You're 16 years old. Go get a job and buy your own candy.
Just let them trick-or-treat.
Are they at least coming to your house with a proper costume on? Because all the kids that come to our place, all they have, they're wearing their jeans, their stupid hoodie, and they put on a stupid, like, Freddy Krueger mask.
You know what?
No, that's not an outfit, okay?
It's not.
Put on the striped sweater with the hole in it. You know, get out there and dress up the part.
It's
Put on a Barney costume for all I care.
Do you know what? You don't give those kids candy, and they're going to egg my house. You can clean it up.
But we know Rob Bag won't.
Well, if Rob Bag shows up, I'm pretty sure Amy's going to give him a big chocolate bar anyway.
So, do you know what? If it costs me 75 cents to keep those kids from egging my house, I'm going to give them a damn chocolate bar.
But I never egged somebody's house because they gave me one little candy bar. I also stopped trick-or-treating when I was like 13 because I had a thing called money and I could buy my own candy.
Well, that's unfortunate. I trick-or-treated all the way through high school. I was one of those kids, but I made my own costumes, so don't you look at me like that.
Okay, I can at least get that, and that's fine, but wearing a hoodie, that's not a costume.
No, if you're going out trick-or-treating, you got to have the full-on costume.
Yeah, if you're going to do a full costume, okay, I'll give, especially if I can tell that you're like 16 years old and your mustache is sticking out of your mask.
So if you can grow a better mustache than Alex, you're too old to be trick-or-treating.
Yes, 100% truth.
This is a sneak peek, by the way, into the useless arguments we have at home.
Yeah, this happens all the time. No, I love seeing the little kids come up in Halloween, like three-year-old kids coming up dressed in their Elsa dresses, you know, like Rob Bag's kids coming up to my place. I mean, obviously they're more than 3 years old. I think they're all around six or seven or so.
Also, they live in Ontario.
Yes, but would those kids come to, like, those kind of kids come to our place?
Use his kids as an example.
Okay, we'll use your son as an example and your daughter.
They came trick-or-treating last year at our house and had to use our potty.
That's true. That is correct.
But to me, that's what Halloween's all about, letting the kids go out there and have fun. No, you're 16 years old. Go get a job. Buy your own candy.
What if they have a hard life? Don't judge them. Let them trick-or-treat.
That's too old. Sorry.
See, and I love trick-or-treating.
Everybody has problems, by the way. No, you get no sympathy from me on that. I have my own problems. Nobody feels sympathy for me.
I love taking Dylan trick-or-treating because my son, if you've ever noticed, has no semblance of boundaries. He'll hold anybody's hand. Like, when he goes up to talk to somebody, he'll hold their hand and have a chat with them while he does. Like, personal boundaries are not his thing. Working on it, but you know. And last year when we went trick-or-treating, we would go up to people's doors. And if he heard a dog, like, can I come in and pet your dog? By the way, he's a dog person. So
that's my kind of kid.
Yeah. But I do agree with the age of trick-or-treaters. I agree to a point with Amy. They're not out doing stupid things, but put a costume on.
I agree. Put a costume on. But as long as they're not egging my house, or they could be out doing all kinds of other stupid stuff. They could be out drinking and doing drugs. They're just trick-or-treating. They want some candy. Let the kids have candy.
I think it's more Alex just wants more leftovers.
No, they can have the one candy corn. They can have one candy corn. That's what you get when you're 16 years old and you come.
In the neighborhood. Full-size chocolate bars and chips, which we have to go buy tonight, by the way.
Yeah, we're out.
That's why I still do costumes with the full face mask when I go out with Dylan so people don't know how old I am. Go out with the pillow sack. No, I don't actually do that. I just steal his candy when he's done.
Well, see, you know, the dad tax, that's okay. I'm all for that because I will definitely tax my kids as well. No, sorry. There's a cutoff.
I thought there was just a mic drop.
No, that was my pen. There's a cutoff to me for, like, age of trick-or-treating, 13 years old.
So what happens if a 16-year-old kid shows up at your door tomorrow?
If you're going to call people out, call them out to their face. Don't forget to at them.
Well, if I knew these kids' Twitter's handles, I would at them and say, no, go get a job, kid.
Maybe, we should go get job applications then and hand them job applications. We should, yeah. We'll
go
to
McDonald's. That'd be pretty awesome.
Go to McDonald's and get a stack of job applications?
Yeah. But really, though, if I were to go trick-or-treating right now, nobody's going to give me anything.
That's because you balded like a 55-year-old man.
I can go as Al Bundy.
Oh my God, do it. People will give you candy for that.
No, probably not.
Well, I would.
Oh, damn it.
But I'm not heartless like you. I'll hand out candy to anybody. That also helps because I actually am not home on Halloween, so I don't have.
Do you know what makes me mad more than these little 16-year-old kids going for candy? Adults who bring their kids trick-or-treating and say, oh, you got a beer?
Oh, liquor-treating? You don't like liquor-treating? Is that shade being thrown at the other side of the...
What's wrong with liquor treating?
Over here?
If you could see the rolling of my eyes.
I could be out there as a 30-year-old man trying to get candy.
I'd rather you do that. A chocolate bar is a hell of a lot cheaper.
But you just said you don't want the 16-year-olds out there drinking. You'd rather have them getting candy.
A chocolate bar is a hell of a lot cheaper than a beer.
See, last year we did the trick or liquor treating thing, but we did it on the... Was it the Saturday night was Halloween? We did it on the weekend, whatever weekend night. Might not have been actually Halloween, but we put our costumes on and we went to friends' houses, stopped at their house, had a beer.
Well, and that's fine. You're going to friends' places, and they, for the most part, know you're coming, right?
Oh, yeah. It's planned.
Yeah, there you go.
But going to I would never go to a random person's house and be like, give my kid candy, give me a beer. That's just that's just weird. Does that actually happen?
I don't know if people do it to strangers, but friends have done it to us.
Oh, okay. Friends is okay.
No, but still, it pisses me off. Am I allowed to say that?
Sure, I guess.
If a stranger ever asked me for a beer when he was bringing his kids trick-or-treating, I'd just door slam and get off my lawn.
Suddenly we're out of candy.
It's done. Halloween is over.
No, sorry. 13 years old. Anything more? More than 13. No, you're in high school then. Like you're too old.
I think this is the most heated rant we've had of the year.
I don't like teenagers, all right? That's what it comes down to. I hate teenagers. That's all suck.
I've got nothing to say.
Yeah, you guys aren't denying that, so.
My kid's five.
I've got nothing to say. The only thing I hate more than teenagers is their parents.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I apologize to any listeners there who have teenage children or are teenagers now.
All in fun. Bring your kids to our place. Like Amy said,
full-size chocolate bars and chips.
Yeah, so that's if I don't eat them all first.
But you have to find it. You can't. We're not going to tell you where it is.
Nope.
Otherwise, you'll have a bunch of 16-year-olds showing up at your door.
Right. Well, we'll see how that turns out. All right, back to the show. Grey Cup's coming up, less than a month away. And obviously, the playoffs are around the corner. And you know, everything means a lot more in the CFL. The games are more important. And Grey Cup's coming up. But Grey Cup isn't just about the game. For those, like, we've been to multiple Grey Cups, all of us, and Grey Cup isn't about just showing up on the Sunday and going to the game and enjoying a football game.
I think that's the least important part of Grey Cup, if we're being honest.
Grey Cup is, to me, it's a week-long experience. And it's an event. It's a full week of events. For those that were here for Grey Cup for 95, 03, and most recently in 2013, there were events, and Grey Cup has gotten bigger and bigger every single year. It's a full week. Team parties, concerts, everything like that. So for those of you that are going out to Ottawa this year for Grey Cup, we want to bring in somebody to talk about Grey Cup and just give us a little bit more information on Grey Cup, team parties, concert series, and just some other events that are going on. So let's bring on Janine Richaud. She's with the CFL Grey Cup Committee, and she's going to tell us all about what's going on with Grey Cup. Janine, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm happy to be here, as always.
So the first thing that we want to know about, everyone that goes to Grey Cup goes to the team parties. Where are the team parties this year? I saw on Twitter that things were getting moved from Lansdowne Park in Ottawa, and they're going to be kind of spread out. What's the deal with the team parties?
Yeah, so Lansdowne is a really great location that has a lot of bars and restaurants, and a lot of the teams do their parties in bars or restaurants. So certainly Lansdowne made itself available, but at the end of the day, each team is going to decide where it wants to have its parties. And so most of the teams have actually, it looks like, chosen places that are not on Lansdowne itself. But the good thing about Ottawa is we're a pretty small city, and it's pretty easy to get from Lansdowne to just about anywhere. There's going to be great transportation systems, for example, set up. So, for example, I know you guys don't care about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers party, but I'll tell you about it anyway. It's going to be at the Shaw Center, which is downtown. It's right by the Rideau Center, which is, of course, a big mall in right downtown Ottawa. So that one's going to be there. The Lion's Den has gone up, and that one is, it looks like that one's going to be at the Great Canadian Cabin, which I'm embarrassed to say was open over 20 years ago when I was a university student, and I may have spent many a night there in the market in downtown Ottawa. As far as I know, Ryderville is still planning to be at Lansdowne, and so is the Our Nation party. So there is still going to be a couple of team parties at Lansdowne, at the same place as the concert series is going to be. So really it was up to all the teams to kind of decide where they wanted to go, and fans of the Grey Cup shouldn't worry, because it's going to be easy to get from location to location. So you're going to be able to do some bar hopping in the market, or stick around Lansdowne to catch a concert and catch, you know, the Riders or the Our Nation party. So there's going to be lots lots of places are going to be having some Grey Cup fun this week.
And the team parties, most places do charge cover. Is that the case again this year?
With the exception of the Edmonton Eskimos party, most of them seem to be charging a cover. But again, that's the teams who are really just trying to kind of recuperate the cost of renting the bar and bringing people in. So I think the only free one again this year is probably going to be the Edmonton party.
Now, you did mention the concert series. What are some of the events that are highlighting that series, that event?
So it's really fun because this year, of course, it's aside from being, the 105th Grey Cup, it's also Canada's 150th. So the organizing committee has done a lot, all that it can to really get this to be an all-Canadian celebration, and that includes the concert series. I don't know if you guys know, if you guys are big country fans. I think in Western Canada there's a lot of good country fans out there, but we've got a Saskatchewan girl is going to be headlining Country Music Night. Do you guys know Jess Moskaluk?
Yeah, from Regina here.
Yeah, so she's going to be the headliner on the first night of the concert series, which is super exciting. It's going to be a Country Music Night. We're going to have lots of people from your neck of the woods are going to be in town as always, because you rider fans like to travel for Grey Cup. So I hope a lot of you are going to come and check that out. And then on the second night, we're going to have more of an alternative slant. So the headliner that night is Sloan, which again is a bit of a throwback to my university years, but I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And then night number three is going to be Trooper and April Wine, so good old Canadian classic rock. So really trying to appeal to a large swath of fans who like all sorts of different genres of music. But the important thing is it's Canada's 150th, and we're going to be showcasing all Canadian talent, which I'm really excited about.
Now, you mentioned April Wine and Trooper. I'm pretty sure they do our Labor Day party almost every year. They're a huge hit out in Saskatchewan, so that may get some of us out there.
I think that's probably the concert series. The last time I checked the ticket sales for the concerts, that was the one that was having all the success in drawing a whole bunch of people to the tickets. So everybody loves Trooper and April Wine, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
So the Gridiron Gals event, what is that?
So the Gridiron Gals event is kind of inspired by something that the Red Blacks do every year. They have a ladies' night every year before the season starts where they bring together coaches and players and women who want to just learn a little bit more about the game and take a deeper dive into the strategy behind the game are invited to come and hang out with players and coaches. So this has been a really successful event. I went the first year that they did it, and I don't mind admitting that you guys know me, you know how much I love football and how much I know about the game. So at first I was a little bit like, oh, do I really want to go to this? Is this kind of going to be football 101? But it's not really football 101. It's really just an opportunity for women to hang out together and to meet players and to meet coaches and to get a bit of a deeper dive into the strategies behind the game. And so the way that they'll probably do it is split the women who are participating up into three groups. You'll spend some time with the offensive coaches, some time with the defensive coaches, and then some time on the field with the players. And you'll just get to, get a view into the playbook, and you'll get to run some drills with the players. And it's just a really fun opportunity to kind of bring football to another demographic that maybe hasn't always been as involved in football. So if you have a chance, Amy, it's certainly... being targeted at women, but Alex and all the rest of you guys, don't worry. Men are invited too, as long as you don't mind buying the ticket. Everybody's welcome to come. So it'll be a great opportunity to meet some coaches and players from across the league, and just who doesn't want to have that kind of access to learn a little bit more about the strategy behind the game. So it should be a really great event.
So what I'm hearing is this is a great opportunity for research.
A great opportunity for research for somebody who might have a little haughty bowl.
That's what I was hearing throughout this whole thing.
I think you'll find a whole lot of candidates.
Sounds like a place for me.
So, Janine, what else do people need to know about Grey Cup and all the festivities going on in Ottawa?
Well, I think, I mean, the biggest thing, I think the biggest thing to remember is just that this is Canada's 150th. And so it's just such a great way to sort of close off what has been a really fantastic year across the country for celebrating Canada's 150th. But now we're going to be in the capital. You guys know, because you've been to Grey Cups before as well, you guys know just how special it is to have everybody sort of be together and be reunited at these things. We've really tried to have as many inclusive events as we can to make sure that there's plenty of opportunities for young, old, men, women, people from all across the country to just find something that they really love at this festival. So I think you're just going to see, you know, Canadians coming together from coast to coast to coast and just uniting here in the nation's capital for what I really, really do believe will be an inclusive and fantastic Grey Cup festival. We'll all be sort of reunited. We'll get to hang out and celebrate what a great country this is, and hopefully get to watch the Red Blacks play again in the Grey Cup for the third year in a row. That will make it just that much more fantastic.
Yeah, they can lose at home to the Riders. It'll be great.
Oh yeah.
One other question I had: there's going to be another Pride party, correct?
Yes, there is. So again, that's kind of on the theme of inclusive and reaching out and to demographics that maybe haven't always been involved in the game. There's going to be on the Thursday night, and let me just make sure I get the name of it right, Capital Pride Grey Cup Party, which is presented by You Can Play. So it's going to be on Thursday night. And again, just a really great way of bringing in everybody and making sure that everybody feels like they can take part in the Grey Cup Festival. And I don't know if you guys might have seen on social media, but the Red Blacks team was really, really involved in the Capital Pride Parade this year in Ottawa. You had Brad Sinopoli and Greg Ellingson, who were kind of out there, you know, throwing mini footballs out at the crowd. And the team has really embraced this as a great way to, again, just bring more people into the game. And so I'm really looking forward to that event as well.
So we're getting into town on the 22nd, which happens to be my 6th annual 29th birthday.
Oh, I have had many of those myself.
So
yes.
Where is the birthday party for me going to be on Wednesday night? What should we do on Wednesday night?
Well, on Wednesday night, I think I might have even seen a few of the diehards who have set up a little party on Facebook, and we'll have to maybe poke at Brian from BC Lions Den, because I think he's setting up a little bit of a reunion for people that see each other year after year, and I'm pretty sure I can score you guys an invite to that. So that'll be a good chance for all of the podcasters to sort of come together to kick things off for the festival and maybe map out our plans for the week, because I'm sure we'll all want to make sure we have our game plans down.
Now, if you had to pick one event from the entire weekend, or pretty much week as it were, what's the one event you don't want to miss?
The one that I am looking the most forward to is actually the concert series, but most particularly the Friday night concert. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Sloan in concert, not just because I'll get to relive my university years, which were a very long time ago, but the venue at Lansdowne is really quite great for concerts. We have the football stadium, but just underneath the stadium is an arena where our junior hockey team, the Ottawa 67s, play. And it's a really great concert venue for, like, intimate concerts, and you get to be right up next to the stage. And I think there's just going to be a lot of great music and great talent being showcased. So I will definitely not be missing Sloan on the Friday night.
Well, Janine, it's going to shape up to be an absolutely fantastic week, like all Grey Cups are. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us all the info on Grey Cup.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to see you guys. It's going to be... Now, is this your first time in Ottawa? I can't remember.
In Ottawa, yes.
So you guys are going to love this town. We're getting a lot of bad weather today, so we're getting it all out of our system. So it's going to be great weather. I swear we're going to have a great Grey Cup.
And now Amy has no idea what to pack. Should we pack for, like, full winter? Because we're almost bordering on December by then.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you remember last year's Eastern final was played in a snowstorm.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it is possible. It is absolutely possible that you see yourselves in a bit of snow. That was early last year for us to get snow at that time of year, but it's always possible. So, I don't think we're going to, I'm going to say this and then watch what's going to happen. I was going to say, I don't think we're going to be in for like the minus 30s that we had when the Grey Cup was in Saskatchewan a few years ago, but I suppose it's Canada and one never knows. So I always say prepare for the, hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
So bring all the clothes.
Bring all the clothes and all the hot pockets for your mittens and your boots.
Perfect.
Janine, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, guys. I'm always happy to talk to you, and good luck in week 20 of the season.
Yeah, well, we'll take care of Edmonton, and then we'll see you in the Grey Cup.
We'll see.
That would be something if it ended up being the Riders in Ottawa in this Grey Cup too. That'd be
It would be a pretty incredible Grey Cup for sure.
We'll keep in touch, and we'll talk to you before Grey Cup starts up, and we'll find you when we get there.
Sounds good, guys. I'll see you when you're here.
So again, there was Janine Richaud of the Grey Cup Festival Committee. Lots of great stuff going on from the sounds of it. I personally can't wait. Amy, what'd you say? We're 22 days away from going? Something like that. Like we're 3 weeks away from leaving for Grey Cup.
23.
So that's going to be, that'll be fun. I can't wait.
And I look forward to the Gridiron Gals event.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Fun. Yeah.
I didn't know it was a thing.
So lots of good stuff out there going on. So if you're going to Grey Cup, we'll be around there. Come say hi. We're not going to be hard to find. We'll be, in green. There'll be lots of people in green at Grey Cup. Grey Cup is usually, there's a lot of Rider fans at Grey Cup. It's a great time. If you ever get a chance to go to Grey Cup and do the events, even if you don't go to the room party rooms and spend the $20 cover and to go in and have drinks and fun, there's lots of fun stuff for the kids, all adults. The Grey Cup Festival is just, it's fantastic. It's a great way to meet a lot of the real good fans of this league, because it's people that care not so much about teams, but they care about people. And it's just a lot of great people, and I look forward to meeting even more people out there. So if you see us out there at Grey Cup, come say hi to us. We want to meet more of Rider Nation out there, and anybody else that's listening, come on out to Ottawa, and we'll have a great time. And finally this week, we have our Piffles Pick'em to get to. So this week, going to determine who finishes where in the CFL and who's playing where in the playoffs. The first game doesn't really mean much, Montreal at Hamilton, but we do have Winnipeg at Calgary, and then Edmonton at the Riders, and Toronto at BC. Who wants to start?
Me.
Okay.
Hamilton, Calgary, Saskatchewan, Toronto.
Steve.
Yeah, I'm gonna go after you. My picks are going to be determined based on who you pick, I think.
All right. I have Hamilton because I said before, Montreal will not win another game this year, and so far I've been pretty bang on with that, and that's going to continue because Montreal's garbage right now. Hamilton. Calgary, because Matt Nichols is out. The Riders, because they're the best team in the league right now. And I'm going to go with BC. It was a mean-nothing game for BC, but the three-hour time zone difference, I think, is going to catch up to Toronto, especially being a late game. That's a 10 o'clock local game for Toronto. So that's a tough trip to do on the final week of the playoffs, or final week of the season. And as much as I'd love to see Toronto win, and I want Toronto to win just so that we have, the first place team in the East finishing at 500 at 9-9, I don't want the first place team to finish 8-9-1 again, because that's a joke. But I'm going to go with BC.
I had a bit of an off week. I went 1-3 last week, so I fell behind pretty good. I'm trying to see where I can make up a little space here, but I'm going to go Hamilton because Montreal's a dumpster fire. Winnipeg, Toronto, Edmonton.
Is that your reverse jinx?
Yeah.
Psychology working?
Yeah. I hope the Riders win, but for my pick 'em. No, you know what? I got to go Riders. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I don't see the Riders losing that one.
Oh. So we all have the Riders going playing out west.
I hope
so. In the playoffs. And
here's hoping.
Yeah. It's going to be quite a week in the CFL. Three of those games mean a lot to the teams that are in it. So it'll be a great final week in the CFL. And next week, we got playoffs.
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
You kidding me? Playoffs? And we'll have our first playoff game preview here on the Piffles podcast. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. We've never done that before.
Not one that includes the Riders.
Oh, man. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
That's actually a thing. Playoff football exists.
That'll be great. Oh. But that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Piffles podcast. Next week's show, we're going to recap that game against the Eskimos and see where everybody finishes. Preview the Riders playoff game against either Winnipeg or Toronto/Ottawa. We know that game will be Sunday, November 12th. Don't know for sure what time that game will be at. It'll either be at 12 o'clock or 3:30. We'll have a rant, another entry into the Hottie Bowl, our Coney Island Piffles player profile, and we'll give a little bit more details about the playoff watch party we're going to have. So what we want to do for the playoff game here is we want to meet some of Rider Nation here, some of our listeners and just more great Rider fans, and we're going to have fun at a bar. We're going to go watch the game, so you got to be 19, and we'll just go and have a great time and get some prizes out there, and we'll just have a lot of fun and watch the Riders move on to what I'm assuming is going to be Calgary.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So
it's going to be fun.
If you're looking for something to do for the playoff game, doesn't matter what time it's going to be at, we're going to be out somewhere anyway, and we'll get final details on that coming up in the next week or so. Let us know. We want to get final numbers so we can contact an establishment and get out there. And if you're interested in watching the playoff game with us and a whole bunch of other Rider fans, let us know on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can send us a message on Facebook as well, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Anywhere you can find us, send us a message. We'll get back to you right away, and we'll make sure that we mark a spot down for you. So it'll be a great time. We'll all be there, and it'll be great.
Playoffs
coming up next week. One more week of the regular season, and we'll move on to what really matters. Anyway, thanks again for joining us. Follow us on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
Follow me at Safamud.
And I am at CFL Hottiewall.
Like our Facebook page, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast on the Facebook page and Twitter. If you did miss the video tribute to Darian Durant, it's on there as well. I took a video of it and posted it on there. So check that out on social media right now. It's a great video, so make sure you check that out. We're also on Instagram, search PifflesPod, and go to PifflesPodcast.com for more. Thanks for listening.
We're drinking town with a football problem.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.